You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everyone, welcome to Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. My name is Paulie Walnuts, delighted to have you with us today for this episode. We've got Pete Loeffler of Chevelle. Hard Drive producer Roxy got him on the phone while the band was on a break. Talk a little bit about their album, The North Corridor, and what they've got going on this year. They'll be jumping back on the road at the end of April, doing some festivals and a headlining tour all throughout May. With that said, take it away, Roxy.
So how's the break been going for you? I mean, you guys haven't had a whole lot of time off.
Yeah, I've been hanging out, doing home stuff, which is, it's such a drastic change, You're on the road and you're playing almost every day, and then all of a sudden it just stops cold turkey, and you're home, and you're like, oh, I'm getting up, I'm getting out of my own bed. What do I do with myself? It's like I spend time with my son, which is amazing, but he goes down for a nap and you're like, wow, okay now do I go rehearse, do I go write a song, what do I mean? I mean there's always something to do, but it's like you're it's just two different lifestyles, just drastic,
I know, it's funny. I remember Dan Donegan one time saying that, it takes him a good while, especially, when you tour for long streaks of time and you get home and, you're used to being rocked to sleep in the bus and you're used to that noise in the background that helps you maybe sleep. I don't know. But, he was saying, he says he really has a hard time, the first week or so of being home, of really readjusting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I completely identify with that. In fact, now, like in the bus, I'll put earplugs in and I'll fall asleep with the sound of the motor and going down the road and you're being rocked. But then you get home and you're like still in a bed, and I actually have to put noise on. Like I have to run an iPad to have some noise going. So I just put like the Twilight Zone on next to me, and I fall asleep with noise because it's too quiet, too still,
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I hear you. And it's funny, I had a situation one time with these upstairs neighbors. Thank God they're gone. But they were really loud, heavy walkers. They had a son that was, high school age. It stayed up until like 1, 2 in the morning, always heavy-footed, And I bought a white noise machine. And I was, dicking around with like, okay, do I want waves or the train or what? And then the only thing that really worked was just the white noise sound. And that covered not only the sound, but put me to sleep. It was like weird. I was like, I guess it's like being in the womb or something. I don't know, but it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. It's bizarre. Sometimes your mind will run away from you if you don't have some kind of noise and, I guess, stimulation of some kind.
Yeah, that's true. It's weird. It is weird. So I just saw the video for Door to Door Cannibals. It's really kind of creepy. I'm curious, who came up with that?
Sam and I came up. Dean, sometimes when we riff on video ideas or concepts, we'll just get together and talk over a couple drinks or whatever. And I had wanted to do something sort of 12 Monkeys-ish. I don't know if you're familiar with that movie with had Brad Pitt and and so that's initially where it started, and then it morphed into another video, and we wanted to shoot one complete scene of me escaping a hospital, and we thought we could do it in slow motion, and then it morphed again, and we wrote a whole treatment when we worked with this guy who we've done videos before, and then it all fell away. It just did not. There was a series of events that happened that we couldn't do it on a certain day, and then the budget was too big, and then people argued, and then it just went away. Well, we get to the end of the tour, and we had another chance to work with someone new, so we worked with them, and we got a video shot on the day after our last show. We went to Pomona, California, and shot it before we flew home. And there you have it. So we have a video. We haven't done a video in years. And typically because we just can't really agree on something. But this one, you know, kind of like a freaky nightmare mental hospital situation that, you know, no band performance, which, you know, we don't really like to do those a whole lot anymore because essentially it's what we do live. And I like it. I think it turned out okay. I hope people dig it.
I have to tell you, I thought you did a spectacular job. I mean, your facial expressions were believable. I mean, I really felt like I was panicked as you were in that, you know, watching you. I mean, it was really well done, I have to say. And the special effect images were like, oh man, you know, like the woman with her, you know, legs cut off, and the creepy guy and with the staples in his head. It was like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, you know, that girl without any legs, she is she's an actual actor that she doesn't have any legs. So
no,
that's
way.
Really her body. Oh yeah.
Oh my God, I thought it was like special effects. Holy shit.
No, no.
Oh,
no,
wow.
She's in other things as well if you search her out.
Oh.
There were a lot of a lot of cool people on the set.
How did she lose her legs?
You know, I never asked.
Oh.
I didn't hear how that happened, but maybe Sam or Dean did, but I didn't hear. It was funny because I was in almost every scene, so it was, you know, it was a 12-hour shoot that I went really quickly because I was busy the entire day.
Right. How do you prepare for something for it's kind of a little movie, if you will. How did you prepare for that?
I figured the less sleep I got, the better and the more strung out I'd look. So, I stayed up late hanging out with, we had a good friend, Dan, who was in the Red video early on. That was the first performance video that we ever did, I believe. Wait, no, you know what? I take that back. We did one performance video on Point Number One. And so the Red was like the first kind of like really, you know, video that people, you know, saw. Anyway, Dan was in it. He was a friend of ours. And we had him fly out to be in this video as well. Turned out he couldn't make it the whole day. He had to leave early and we didn't get to his parts in time. But so we were hanging out with him the night before and talking about what we were going to do. And then he was all decked out in his outfit. And then 5 o'clock came and he had to split. So it was kind of a bummer because that could have been a really cool full circle thing to have him in the Red. And then in this video as well to make another appearance. But, so I guess I didn't really prepare a whole lot. I just, like I said, lack of sleep, exhausted. And, you know, acting is something that I've actually wanted to get into more, you know? So I've considered contacting, my agent and seeing if I could just start, you know, see if I could just start getting involved in some small way, you know, with doing some more acting, some actual, you know, actually have some lines.
Well,
so,
I have to
see.
Yeah, I have to say, I think that would be all anyone has to look at is that video, and I think they'd get it. You know, your expressions were spot on. It really was good. You know,
and
I loved and even Sam, thinking of poor Sam and his vertigo, sitting in the wheelchair. I'm thinking, you know, I can see him sitting there.
Yeah, almost true to life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you saw him that day.
Yeah.
He was being, he was incapacitated. He was being taken out on a stretcher to the, you know, being led out to the ambulance, you know, having his vertigo issues and all that. So, I mean, he has his own shirt and it says Samuel has problems. I mean, he doesn't shy away from talking about it. That was, it was fitting, right?
Right. And you know, I didn't realize until I actually saw the photograph, I think there was just a still photograph of Sam and the actor that was sitting next to him in the chair. And when you see, you know, the difference in size, it was actually kind of surprising. It didn't dawn on me really until I saw the still still photo, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was a little man, but he was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he works a lot, too, which is very cool.
Good. And it was funny, too. I remember having a psych class, and we went to this when I was in Boston, and we had a mental institution that, you know, we would go to and study, and it really, I felt like I was in that place. It was really freaking me out.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it was funny too. And then we'll get off the subject of the video. But I love the tumble at the end of the clip that Dean takes. And I'm curious, did he actually hurt himself on that? It looks painful.
He did. He said he hurt his ankle after a couple times of plowing into the guy. He had some really big falls in that video that will probably never be seen. But the one that they ended up using, I think they used it for, you know, composition reasons. But the other ones he had were more brutal, where he really plowed into the guy.
Wow.
So, and then that fall at the end, yeah, he did say his ankle was hurting him after that.
Ouch.
But it was a nice touch on his part.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing, very realistic. It was very, very well done. Very well done. Cheers.
Cool.
Well, let's talk about the song. What can you tell us about Door-to-Door Cannibals? What kind of insight can you give fans into that?
Yeah, you know, it's a song that it was written early on in the process, and it's one of my favorites. We play it out every night. It's a song basically about traveling religious salesmen, you know, who come to your door and waste your time. Unless you're into that sort of thing, which is cool, but it's one of those things. So it's a heavier track, but in fact, I'm actually surprised that I should ask how it's doing at radio. I don't know. It wouldn't be. It's not a typical Chevelle style single to me, but I was cool with that. People that help us make these decisions on what singles to put out, you know, they felt strongly about it, so I was down.
I was happy to see that Joyride was number 11, the number 11 most played rock song on Active Rock Radio for 2016. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know, we'll take it. We'll take these little wins, right?
Exactly. Exactly. When you sat down to write that song, what was happening to come up with that one?
You know, just from having a kid, you know, it makes you think about your younger years and I was just, you know, you think about what is their, you know, in 14, 15 years, what are they going to be dealing with, or what are they going to be? Are they going to be driving or not? Are they going to be in autonomous cars? Are they going to be all these things that come up, you know, when, you know, after you have a kid and you think about. So basically, I was revisiting part of my past and things that I used to do with friends and, you know, but it's, you know, Joyride it's kind of, it's a push and pull sort of song, you know. There's good and bad in it, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, we added the Omen on there because it is sort of a, you know. I try not to give away everything in interviews about what the songs are about, you know.
Right.
Really, just don't want to piss off people, you know. But and you know, that's the good thing about music is that, you know, you can pull various things and make them shape, you know, whatever you want. So, I mean, they certainly have their deeper meanings for me, but, you know, they're not always, it's not always the best thing to say.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I should remember that you don't really like to reveal much, but that's okay. But generally speaking, I think the sure. music on the North Corridor is heavier than the last outing. I mean, why was this right for this particular record?
You know, we just love playing heavier music. You know, people have said in the past, you know, why don't you, you know, if you're a little lighter on the, you know, on the music side or a little more singy, you know, maybe you'll cross over to, you know, alternative, more radio or whatever. And when we sat down, we had a conversation and we all agreed that we love playing the heavy stuff. So we really just focused on that. And, you know, to each their own, but this album just kind of shaped up like a little bit heavier, you know, a little more. I'm always searching for, you know, that heavy riff. And although at the same time, you know, if it's good, it's undeniable. So we just want it to be heavy and good at this point. I think Chevelle's going to continue on down that road. In fact, I started writing recently, and I picked up my A-sharp guitar again. So to not get way off topic here, I wrote most of this album in drop C, and the last album was in drop C, which is higher than we used to be. We used to be in A-sharp and B, and now we went up, and now I think I'm going to go back to A-sharp on this next album and just kind of see where that takes me. But yeah, I don't know. We've been listening to a lot of heavy stuff in the dressing room. A lot of Rammstein and Danzig. And so, I don't know. I think we just like playing the heavy stuff, you know? I think if people, you know, we're going back to Headline in January, and I'm confronting what are we going to play off the new album. And I listened to Young Wicked, mm-hmm. We finished the album months ago, and I just haven't listened to it in months. You know, it's like you have to walk away from it a little bit,
right?
And then and then you can come back to it, and it's actually like a good reunion. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, because you focus so hard on it, and then you need to. Once it's done, you just set it down and you learn the songs that you're going to play. So I went back listening to Young Wicked today, only because I was searching out the new Helmet record.
Mm.
And I panned down in iTunes and I saw that Young Wicked was on there. And I was like, oh, you know, I guess I haven't listened to our album since it was done. And I listened to Young Wicked and I was like, damn, I think I want to play this live. So we're going to be... we're going to be going down that road for the live stuff. And I think our live show is just going to get heavier. And I hope people dig that because, you know, you try and do what makes you happy. You know, after we're probably closing in on, you know, eventually 20 years of playing. So we're going to be, you know, we feel like we really, when we play live, we really want to, you know, just revel in the fact that we still get to do this.
Perfect.
And that's what we're trying to do, and it's just going heavier.
Yeah, heavier is good. Heavier is good. I mean, look at this year. You know, I mean, Metallica came back with just, you know, a really excellent record. And you, by the way, you mm-hmm. mentioned Helmet. I've been trying to find whoever is promoting that album because A, I wanted to hear it, and B, I want to try to find Paige and get him in here mm-hmm. to talk about it because, you know, I'm like you guys, I'm a big fan. But did you get the album, by the way?
I have it. It's on my iTunes right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
I'm about to get it.
Yeah. Good.
I just got to click. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway. And you know, you're going to go on the road. What aren't you going to Europe with Avenged and Disturbed? Did I see that?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes. That's that happens soon
yeah.
in the new year.
Yeah.
And it's it's a good hike. We're doing a month over there with them.
Good.
And so we're really, this is going to be a nice little, or I should say a nice big push for European markets for us.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we're good and tight with, you know, the guys in Disturbed. They're from Chicago. We've mm-hmm. known them forever. And so it's always good to go to other places with friends.
Absolutely.
And so we're looking forward to that.
Good. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, but I don't think you're coming this way, sadly. I was hoping to see you with Dinosaur Pileup.
Yeah.
And it's funny, they came in, and I kept referring to them as Dinosaur Barbecue. Just because in my brain, I had it in my stupid brain, and I felt so bad. I kept saying to Matt, I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know why. I said, it reminded me of a time I did an interview with Casey Chaos from Amen, and I have a hard time saying amen. Don't ask me why. I kept calling it, I don't know, Ammon or I, whatever. I just couldn't say the word. Yeah. It was just bizarre. Anyway, I hope I'm not getting senile or something. But anyway.
That's hilarious. I love that. I'm going to have to call him Dinosaur Barbecue when I see him. I don't know him yet.
Oh, you're going to love
him. We're going to be seeing him soon. Yeah.
They're great guys. They're very funny, and they love to barbecue. So if you do outdoor stuff, so they're into barbecuing.
That's great.
So let's see. Where do we leave off? You know what? It was funny. I'm friends with Jeff Good, the tour manager. He used to work with Volbeat. I'm sure you probably have bumped into him along the road somewhere. He most recently was working for Hell Yeah. But we're friends on Facebook, and he was really complaining when they were playing, I guess, you were on the bill with them in Knotfest in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
How customs really pulls a number on bands, you know? They for no apparent reason, charge exorbitant fees to either enter or exit the country and all that stuff. I was curious if you guys ever experienced, kind of rip off stuff like that when you travel.
Oh yeah, I mean it's happened. I think we did get pulled aside going into Mexico, and it wasn't as smooth as we had hoped. Ultimately, we got through. We didn't have a whole lot of gear, but they had some rule about you can only bring a certain amount of instruments per person, and they had tallied up our whole rig, and it was like whatever it was. We were traveling pretty light, but I think the reason maybe they were looking to be paid off.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how it works. It was the first time we played in Mexico, so. But ultimately, we probably could have sped it up had we known that, early on. I don't know. But it worked out. But we definitely realized that we need, if we're going to do it again, we need to sort it out. And we need to ask a few more questions and figure out
what's
the right way to do it. Because, we want to go back. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. The crowd looked amazing. It was huge.
It was great.
Yeah. You guys also did Aftershock. I know Tool was on the bill. Did you get a chance to see them?
No, we played the day after Tool.
Yeah, too bad.
So, yeah, we played in the next day, and then Pussifer went on. And I walked up to see, to get on stage, and they'd shut down the stage. So couldn't get on there to see. Mm-hmm. But, is what it is. I'm still a fan. So
yeah.
But
you get to see Pussifer. You'll get to see Pussifer in the spring because you'll be sharing all the Fort Rock and Welcome to Rockville. You'll be on the same bill with those guys.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And isn't Soundgarden on there too?
Yeah,
that's gonna be cool.
Offspring, Soundgarden. Some of them have Avenged. It's gonna be pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. What's the most fun thing you've had a chance to experience with your son so far?
Oh, wow. Well, I would say, probably there's a couple things that come to mind, but one of his favorite things to do is to run out to the garage and grab the skateboard. And since I grew up as a skater when I was a kid, I skated probably since I was like 9 or 10 till I was in my 30s. In fact, I just kind of had to hang that up because I started getting hurt too much. But I don't know if a lot of fans know that about me, that I was such an avid skater. I had wanted to, to get into... I wouldn't say I wanted to go pro. I don't know, that's one of those things, those pipe dreams when you're a kid. Oh, but I mean, I really worked at it. So anyway, to see my son, who's 2 now, run out, and the first thing he grabs is the skateboard. It does happen to be a longboard, which he sits on. He tries to stand, but I sit him down and push him around, and he just loves it. I say, pick up your feet, and he lifts them up, and I just cruise him around the driveway, and he loves it to death. I think that's one of the cool things that I get to do as a dad, is I get to, kind of influence him early on things that I love and that hopefully he he likes in the future. And, you know, it's a full circle kind of thing. And it's just like one of the coolest things. It's simple, you know, the small things are some of the greatest. Yeah, you know,
I know it, you know, it's funny. My boyfriend's daughter's son, I guess my sort of step grandson, whatever, I mean, granddaughter, she's almost two, and she lives in Colorado outside of Vail, and she's already got the helmet, the goggles, you know, the whole thing, the poles, skis, you know, so they're teaching her to ski, you know, and it's so funny, you know, they hold her by her, you know, by the back of her jacket, you know, and, you know, while she goes down the hill. I mean, it's really cute watching this. Yeah, yeah, and she's like a daredevil, you know, so she loves, you know, going down the slide head first, and, you know, she's I could see her being
it's great. All that stuff is great. Yeah, you know, you don't know until you know, and then, you know, it's like, wow, you know, this is a whole new journey, and it's exciting. Good stuff.
By the way, I was going to tell you, speaking of Pussifer, Maynard did a book tour last month, and he invited me to be the moderator for the show in New York, and then two of them in Washington, D.C. And that was an interesting experience, I have to say.
So that's fantastic. You know, I did hear about that book, and
it's good.
I searched it out. I don't have it in my hands yet, but I read a few excerpts and things online about it, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea.
Well, how was that?
It was interesting. I mean, it really didn't get to hang with him that much because he was sick with a sinus infection. So, you know, sadly, we didn't get to spend a lot of time together. But we did.
I did
get to, you know, to hang with him, you know, on stage and get a sense of you know, the guy. He's an interesting character, you know. Well, I love you and I thank you, and please give my best to the rest of the guys, and I know I'll be seeing you guys at some point along the trail.
Yeah, for sure. We love you too, Roxy. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.